And we're live.
Yay, squirrel report.
For those listening live, Jay was fired.
He was not.
He's a piece of shit.
And we just
We gave him his pink slip. If you liked Jay, then you could tune into his podcast, the Sell It McSellout podcast.
Is he on another podcast that I don't know about?
Of course not. I'm the only one that's a fucking whore.
Okay. I was about to say, geez.
I can quit podcasting whenever I want to.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you can't.
Just last week when I only did one fucking podcast.
Were you jonesing?
I was shaking like a dog shitting peach pits. whose kitty is that? Which
it's
one?
It's Ronan.
Oh, of course it is. Is his penis coming out?
No, it's dinner time.
Ronan, Red Rocket! Red Rocket! Our cat penis is
he's
red
eating
rockets.
What?
Are they all red and freaky like dog dicks?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. They're very pointy.
Yeah. Well, they've got a baculum.
I don't know what that means.
The penis.
I don't want to know what that means.
I saw the dude who does Demolition Ranch for those of you loser enough just to watch other people shooting stuff and being hilarious. Turns out that dude's a veterinarian and he has a channel called Vet Ranch where he uses the proceeds of the YouTube video plus donations to feed into a nonprofit. And it's him and I think three other veterinary clinics in Texas. And they all take in from this fund and they take strays from the pound that are going to be euthanized and they fix them and then find adoptive homes for them. So it's a pretty freaking cool channel. And unfortunately, they got started getting flagged by the dipshits on YouTube. So the surgeries are much brief because that was what I got into because, you know, I am a veterinary surgeon. So I really enjoy watching the surgeries. But yeah, it's a cool channel. But they had a dog that it was a chihuahua and he had I don't think it was a prolapsed penis, but whatever it was, his little dong was not going back in.
Oh my God.
Just this raging.
I didn't know this could happen.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
I guess the 4-hour thing applies to dogs too, huh?
It happens to the mice. Ever so often, you get the males and the breeding pairs that get all fucked out, literally fucked out, and we just got to kill them and get another one.
Man.
I think you can technically treat a prolapsed penis in a mouse, but I don't. I just fucking kill him and get another one. There's plenty of fish in the sea. So the dog had like some sort of like damage to his spine that was.
He had like a
fused spine.
So it was making. Well, what you said is a dachshund?
A chihuahua.
Oh, a chihuahua. Okay.
But so yeah, his back, he had a big old hump back on him. And, but they had she x-rayed him just to see what the hell was wrong with his back and figured out that, yeah, whatever it is, it's not worth bothering with. But you could just see that baculum just hanging out there. And it was pretty hilarious because you're just not used to seeing a penis bone since we're a species that does not have a baculum.
Could you spell that?
No.
Baculum.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Most mammals have them. Like we are an oddity.
Oh,
you mean primates?
Primates don't have.
I don't think any.
Do cats have them?
Yes.
Yep. Ronan, I did not know.
And they also have like spikes on their dick.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah, it's like a morning star.
Hey, Mike, did you know cats have a penis bone?
I did not know that.
Hi, Mike.
Backward-facing spines.
They have the spines, but they also have a bone.
Wow.
Okay.
Boner.
Boner.
Oh, man. Brita.
What?
If you ever get sick of your husband, I'll take him off your hands.
Okay.
He is a darling man.
He would probably do better on this show than I would. Ooh. You.
Ah.
He would. You'd be a great radio host because you like to talk more than I do.
Listen to me, cat.
You're brushing your teeth right now.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway.
So speaking of radio, I have come up with a brilliant idea of how we can get our talk radio show off the ground a little bit better, because we don't get enough calls.
No, we don't.
So here is a new rule for anyone who wants to call in.
Yeah.
You have to pretend like you're on an actual talk radio program and say hi and then say your name. Because everyone fucking does that on every talk radio show. I know you two probably don't listen to any talk radio.
How is that going to get more callers?
It's voodoo. Pure voodoo. But you'll hear someone. Someone will call up like Rush Limbaugh. And it'll be like, all right. And Mike is our next caller. Mike, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh show. Oh, hi, Mike. I mean, hi, Rush. Every time. I don't know why that is.
Huh.
But yeah. So if you call in, the new rule is you must state your name. It's like Jeopardy. It doesn't make any sense, but that's our rule, and we're sticking to it.
Along that line, you know, I got these really cool Squirrel Report stickers.
Yes.
And I've been trying to come up with a way to get those into the hands of people. And I kind of thought up, I will use them as bribes. So if you want a sticker, I'll make it plural. If you want some stickers,
call in. Are you trying to get rid of your stickers, Alan?
I would like
you have too many stickers.
I would like to get them into the hands of the listeners. But okay. But the only way I can come up with to get you a sticker is without like actual work on my part or costing money. Call in. If you call in and send me your, you know, email me your mailing address, I will send you stickers. But only if you call in. If you just send me an email going, hey, man, I want stickers, you're not going to get them. You got to call in.
I think that's a good idea.
Call in, get a sticker.
Woohoo!
They're good stickers, actually. I have one on the back of my car, and it's that nice vinyl.
Oh, yeah. They're really nice. They're UV resistant, all the cool, you know.
Yeah, they're nice. Actually, Mike has threatened to go around town and like put them on the back of stop signs.
Nice.
And I'm I don't know if I want everybody Googling me.
Well, they wouldn't Google you. They'd just come up
with a squirrel report. What's a squirrel report? It's all over the stop signs in town, you know.
It's pretty badass, actually. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Be like those underground bands and stuff where they
we're the underground stickers. Underground podcast.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Squirrel Report and Andre the Giant has a posse.
Well, Andre the Giant is, you know.
And then there's that Obey the Andre the Giant. That Obey Andre the Giant stencil was created by the same dude that had that Barack Obama Hope portrait.
Oh, great.
He
voted for Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. How else is it going to be?
Hey, let's do this.
Didn't he get in trouble for that? Or?
I really need to find new intro music.
I like that.
Yeah, but it's used on other podcasts. I don't like that. It's Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. Score Report, episode 174? Yeah, I think it's 74.
Shepherd Fairy.
By the way, Alan, one of those like, I don't know how the hell these places make money. There's got to be some sort of scam that I don't know about. But there's all these things. I see them in like the NRA. Every gun magazine has it. Of the, give us $10 and we'll give you like 500 cigars.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, well, one of them. There's an ad on SiriusXM where it's they're advertising. It's on one of the stations that plays NRA News, and they play the theme song in talking about diversifying your portfolio by investing in fine cigars.
Oops,
it's a pretty good ad because it plays it off as it's a financial scam, but instead it's a cigar scam. Or I assume it's a cigar scam. If you advertise on talk radio, you are a scammer.
Huh.
So, Alan.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of problem with our phone number?
I don't know. Maybe. Let's see.
Did you forget to pay the bill this month?
Phones are free, man. You didn't build that.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well.
Yeah, the show costs some stuff costs money. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. Thankfully, we make it hand over fist in this.
I know. I'm rolling in dough.
I just actually got the latest dividend check, and I was actually a little bit surprised. I was like, "Holy shit!"
It's gonna pay for Christmas, right?
It paid for Christmas in Hawaii.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not so much. I got free stickers.
I got some free stickers.
How was Thanksgiving? Tell me about your Thanksgiving, weird.
It was good. It was good. I mean, it's pretty standard issue. I mean, my wife and I we both grew up in the same town, so we show up at my family's house and we have food, and then we leave early and go over to her family's house and have more food.
Are you both only children?
Technically, yes.
Can't you consolidate the Thanksgiving? Mesh the families together? Isn't that what, like, big, like, you know, monarchies, they used to, you know, France, they used to intermarry to England,
that,
and then they
that would, is true, but only
and then
children
you could
are,
just have Thanksgiving together.
But only children are extremely rare on both of our sides of family, especially hers, which is Irish Italian.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think you might.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Oh, nice. That was our phone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do it again.
Hang on. Something's.
But yeah, there was no way we could, like, that was actually one of the statements I said to my wife was, I know we originally set it up where we would flop years of the, we would go to one family's house for the meal, and then the second family's house would be the, you know, hey, you know, make an appearance. And then for like the last few years, my mom's been like right on the ball with the, here's when we're eating, here's what we're eating, who's coming. And her family's been kind of, yeah, well, maybe we'll, yeah, they'll it's going to be here, I guess. And so it's just, we've just been going to my mom's house, but my God, the family's just getting bigger. And the teeny tiny children are getting gigantic.
Oh.
And so that, geez, one of them's like 6'2". He's huge.
Oh, I know the problem.
And the house isn't getting any bigger. So I'm like, you know what? We're kind of packed in there when it's just, you know, sitting around eating crackers and drinking wine. I don't want to sit at the dinner table there. And she's like, no, neither do I. I told my mom.
Yeah, go for dessert or something.
That's what we do. We go for dessert. And also, it's actually nice is actually her family is way better about like the Thanksgiving after party than my family. My family just kind of everyone eats and then everyone kind of sits around and talks for a little bit and just everyone kind of just files out. But pretty much as soon as like the plates are getting stuffed in the dishwasher, people are planning an exit strategy.
Oh.
On my side of the family. And they're definitely much bigger on the pregame. Definitely people start filing in like way early. But on her side of the family, like, oh yeah, no, like charades gets played.
Yeah, I figured out what happens with the phones. The Comcast changed my public IP and I didn't know. And I had to update it on the ID line. So
see, why didn't I think of that?
Did you fix it?
I don't know.
It's like magic. Fix it, Alan.
Wait. Are you putting on your robe and wizard hat, Alan?
Yes.
Kind of. He does this stuff and then says these things and then it works. So basically magic.
Sabrina, why don't you tell us about your Thanksgiving? Did you have spotted dick and blood pudding?
No, I spatchcocked.
Spatchcock.
Spatchcock. Spatchcock is the best way to do a turkey. I am convinced now because I've done turkeys all sorts of ways because I've done the turkey quite a few years in a row now. And what I do, I used to spatchcock the turkey myself. I would, you know, get my sharp kitchen shears and cut out the backbone and do the whole thing. But now I've gotten lazy, and I asked the butcher to do it. And I order a fresh turkey, fresh Amish turkey. You know, for people in Ohio, that's really important, Amish.
Wait. You mean there are turkeys that use electricity and wear buttons?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the difference.
And I think they all have the long beard things. I mean, they call them wattles, but
I know.
They're Amish
and,
beards.
Well, I like the ones with the bonnet.
Okay.
You know, that's important to me. But so I get the fresh turkey, and I ask the butcher to cut the backbone out. And then I bring it home, and I open it up, and, you know, but you pull out all the gizzards and heart and neck and whatever. And then you crack the breastbone, and you kind of push it out flat. And I brined my turkey the day before, and I had a 15-pound turkey this year.
So is it easier to brine it when it's all spatchcocked out because it's
flatter? It is easier to brine. I actually put my turkey in my vegetable bin in my refrigerator.
Oh, so you're still doing the turkey aquarium?
Yes, because it's like the easiest thing. You don't have to worry about it in a cooler outside. It's blah, blah, blah. But I have to say that the vegetable bin in the refrigerator is like 15 pounds is the limit, because it was just big enough. You know, it was like after 15 pounds, it'd probably be too big and coming out of the vegetable bin. But
all right, I think we're working. We got a call. Let's see if it works.
Okay.
Remember the rule, caller.
Hello, area code 508.
Caller?
Nope.
Can you hear me?
Can I finish my spatchcock?
Oh, okay. Apparently it's not working yet.
Let me finish my spatchcock, Alan.
Okay, go ahead.
Tell me more about your cock, Brita.
Okay, so then I jam the turkey in the vegetable bin, and I
pour... Oh, you jam the cock. Got it.
I do. And then I pour the brine over. The brine is, I found a brine on the Pioneer Woman website.
Oh, she's fucking excellent.
She is really good. And it's like apple cider or apple juice with all sorts of spices and whatnot. So that's really good. So I brine that overnight. And then on the day of Thanksgiving, you take your turkey out and you rinse it off and you pat it dry and you put it in the thing. And you cook it at 450. And I know it sounds really high to people who cook their turkey all day long. But if you spatchcock the turkey and you spread it out in the pan and you roast it at 450, I cooked a 15-pound turkey in an hour and a half. And it was absolutely perfect. It was the best turkey I've ever eaten in my life.
That's pretty awesome.
It was great.
In an
and
hour
it's
and a
so
half.
Simple. In an hour and a half.
Fucking A.
You tell people that and they're like, no way.
Does it need to be spatchcocked, or could you do it to a whole bird as well?
No, it has to be spatchcocked.
Gotcha.
It has to be like a level, you know, one layer kind of surface. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spatchcocked. And I basted it with butter and orange juice and stuff. But basically, that was it. Hour and a half. And it's great because you can, like, wake up on Thanksgiving and say, wait a minute, I want to sleep for an hour more. Oh, okay. You know, sleep in for an hour before you put your turkey on. It's great. You don't, it's the most low stress turkey ever. So there you go.
By the way, since we're talking about birds, I had to mention that I cooked up Cornish game hens for.
Nice.
Oh. There, I, you've got to. In this case, overall, I'm a cheap bastard. But in the case of Cornish game hens, you got to find it when the grocery store is getting ready to throw them out, because
nobody else buys them, right?
They're fucking $5 for these little like 1.5-pound birds. It's just, why would you do that? Like, right beside them is a full size fryer chicken that is the same amount of money and is twice the size. But yeah, once they're getting ready to toss them out and they're like $2 a whack, hells yeah. And so, yeah, I bought a bunch of them before Thanksgiving and threw them in the freezer and then thawed them out. Unfortunately, they didn't fully thaw. So I needed to, like, they came out, I cut the first one in half and went back in the oven. after that, they came out really well. And, it was just, my wife who actually just got home. She was out to dinner with a friend. And I'm like, oh, the Cornish game hens. And she goes, yeah, whatever. Eat them, have fun. But me and La Weirda, I ended up saying, you know what? It's time for you to graduate. You get to, because she's always watching us eat food. And she's like, oh, that has a bone in it. But we always cut the meat off the bones for her, no matter what. Uh-huh. And she's very, very fascinated with the idea of eating off bones. So you know what? I cut her off a little Cornish game hen drumstick and said, be really careful because this one has a bone in it, but you can eat that.
Awesome. And boy,
did she have a whole lot of fun doing that. Plus, let's face it, drumsticks are fucking awesome. So yeah, Cornish game hens.
You could also spatchcock those.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. But I mean, only took like an hour to cook them.
Okay.
I think it's working.
Ooh, feedback.
I don't think so, Alan.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Is that you talking through the phone line? Is that?
Yeah, that's me talking through the phone line.
Okay.
So
the call is coming from inside your house, Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't the DID line. It was the Comcast IP address. I had to reconfigure.
Why didn't I think of that?
I had to reconfigure the PBX real quick.
I should have thought of that, Alan.
I'm so sorry for not suggesting that first.
Well, it's been so long since we like had a show and callers and So everybody that tried to call Jason, everybody call back, please.
Maybe Jay will call from his daughter's whatever.
Hey, look at that. All
he's
right.
He's at a family caller. Function, by the way.
Let's see if it works.
Remember the rule, caller.
Hello, caller.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
I know my name's Jason. Do y'all know that, too?
Yep.
Yes, we know.
All right.
You want a sticker, Jason?
I'd like more than one.
All right. Send me your email. Email me your mailing address. I'll send you some.
You got it.
Text him a dick pic.
No. unless it's a picture of Richard Nixon.
Oh, my God.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Also good.
Yeah, actually. So, all right. Now, everyone who has Alan's cell phone number.
Oh, God.
Text him a picture of Richard Nixon. Or Dick Hyman, the famous organ player.
I was going to go for Dick Butkus. Kind of cover two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Dick Butkus or Dick Hyman.
It just depends on how you roll. With a name like Dick Butkus, you knew that guy was going to grow up and be a tough guy. He had to.
Not Dick Hyman.
Yeah.
I kind of think in that case, they ought to have more football players named Sue. Then that'd be an unstoppable team right there.
Yeah.
Do we have an official topic yet, or can I just wander aimlessly?
Don't think we do. Wander aimlessly. Amuse us.
Okay.
Monkey, dance.
Okay. Well, I know there's plenty of stuff in the news about the murders in California and Obama saying stupid things every 5 minutes and all of that, but I really wanted to say something that's going to cause a lot of controversy and discussion and probably even get me unfriended by a few people on Facebook.
Awesome. I like it already.
All right. I have been going back and listening to some of the old Vicious Circles.
Oh, God.
And,
right now I'm on the New Year's Day 2010. Okay. But I just want to say, after going back and I hadn't listened to those in a few years, but after going back and listening to what's there, and what y'all are doing now, and with the exception of a few personalities from back then that I'd love to see y'all bring back and interview now, like old NFO or Lab Rat or some of those, I think I like Squirrel Report better. Y'all are doing a heck of a job.
Oh, thank God. Ooh. I would hope so. If you were going to tell us.
Why do you like Squirrel Report better?
I don't know. It's just, I mean, it just kind of all gels together. Well, for one thing, not everybody is talking over each other, and Alan's not having to yell one at a time every 10 minutes. So, and I don't know. I guess
Yeah, what is that beeping noise?
I have no idea.
I mean, I guess maybe what it was, I just got into Vicious Circle like late. I think I got into it like the last 6 months y'all were doing it. Well, and I could kind of tell that nobody was having fun anymore. And I think, but I mean, every time, I hate it when I miss not hearing y'all live and participating in the chat, because there's a lot of energy here. It's a lot of fun. And I'll definitely say y'all, I have a lot of bright spots in my life, and I definitely count y'all as one of those. So
thank you.
Since no one has said it yet, thank you very much for doing this and keep doing it.
I don't know where that beeping is coming from, but it's driving me nuts.
I don't think it's me.
No.
Nope, my battery's charged.
I'm at 75%. Okay. It's not me.
Maybe that did it.
Okay. But I will.
Thank you.
You can count me as one of the people that think Squirrel Report better than Vicious
Circle. Vicious Circle and the Squirrel Report is Vicious Circle kind of started out as an inside joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a, you know, the people who were on the IRC channel and in the gun blogs, we had been chatting together on the IRC channel for a long time. And then, you know, we got the idea to, hey, let's all talk online because we think we're all so funny. Let's all talk and record ourselves and make a show about it. And then, you know, it did what things usually do, right? It mm-hmm. starts out great. And then it's good for a long time.
It didn't start out great at all.
It was rough in the beginning. But
it
then,
was awkward and painful.
It was kind of really more of a bell curve.
Right.
Started out really kind of lame, hit a peak of wonderful, and then just kind of went downhill.
Yeah. And it was, and I really think that there was this kind of entropy thing on the internet. Everything has mm-hmm. a peak and everything fades. And it's the nature of the internet. You saw it like in LiveJournal and then the blogs and then, you know, MySpace. Everything will have its course. Facebook is going to be next.
Sure.
Twitter is going to be after that. And then there'll be something new because that's the way the internet goes. But, mm-hmm. yeah. So, but I think that we planned the Squirrel Report kind of with the intention of having it be a little bit more structured and a little bit more accessible to anyone, you know, that wants to listen. So,
yeah, that was one thing. Listening to the tail end of VC, I always wished I could have somehow got into the group. And I know, I mean, y'all don't know me from Adam or anything, but I mean, just to be able to get on the phone and talk with y'all on this, I mean, it's a lot of fun. And
sure.
I really enjoy it.
Well, we like having you call in.
Yeah, definitely.
I do have a question.
We really love callers. I mean, that's I think that's
really what the show's supposed to be about, but nobody ever calls in.
I know.
Well, I now have a 2.5-year-old, so that kind of pushes time. But when I can get on here, I will be on here because this is more fun. I do have a question. Will there be a drunken New Year's Eve show this year?
No.
Okay.
Well,
is New Year's Eve on a Thursday?
I don't know. I guess I shouldn't rush to say no because when is New Year's Eve? New Year's Eve is.
I'm always willing to tip an
you know what?
Extreme social pressure.
New Year's Eve is on a Thursday this year.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, we may have to do it.
I'm in.
I could not think of anything better to spend for New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Yeah, we may do it. New Year's Eve. So, okay.
Okay.
I always wanted to go to a fancy New Year's Eve party.
Alan can't be drunk because he'll fall asleep.
That's right.
But everybody else should be drunk.
Well, I was about to say, you know, since you're talking about the Vicious Circle, man, I've listened to a couple of back episodes just for the fun of it. And, oh my God, did I used to get outrageously drunk on that show?
Yes, yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
In fact, there were several shows that the sole purpose of the show was to listen as Weird got drunk and drunk and drunker.
Yeah. Yes.
And that was the show.
I wish I could actually remember which one it was. But there was one where I was I had a cold, and so I was on pseudoephedrin and a 40-ounce malt liquor.
Oh my God.
And that was a mistake.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Well, not with the malt liquor. It was wine and Sudafed. That, and let me tell you, that is a buzz that, I mean, you cannot live down.
Oh no. My only dogs could hear me speaking.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jason. Send me your
Keep up the good one.
Send me your mailing address. I'll send you stickers.
You got it.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
And we got another caller. This is area code 508.
Hey, it's the Arctic Elf.
Arctic Elf.
Yay.
Awesome. If you want stickers, send me your mailing address.
Okay. I'll send you an email.
Okay. Cool.
So, I had something unrelated to what the conversation we were just having, but
that's fine.
Wound ballistics. Since we talked wound ballistics.
Oh, okay.
Since we talked last, I've run a series of experiments on 168 grain projectiles in venison.
Oh.
Oh, awesome.
And I have results to report.
Okay.
So. The first one was about 10 paces, broadside, through the deer. Both lungs, kidneys, liver, diaphragm, all converted to a mass, bullet exited.
What were you shooting this from?
16-inch barrel, .308 Ruger Scout, or Ruger 77 Frontier.
Okay.
Sitting on the ground underneath a log.
So the deer just walked up to you, basically.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Right,
sitting on the ground, a piece of camouflage netting pulled over myself. Deer walked up, eating acorns, and got shot in the chest.
Suicidal deer.
Wait, Arctic Elf, yeah. You say acorns, too?
I know. I just heard that, too. What?
That's what they are. They're acorns.
Well, especially when I want to fuck with Weird and Breed It. Yes, I do.
You will go far, my friend. You will go far.
I got all warm and fuzzy in my heart.
I was confused there for a moment.
Acorns.
No, it's the... my accent is very adaptable.
Acorns. So, okay, go ahead.
Acorns. Okay, so the second deer, probably 25 or 30 yards, same gun, same bullets, hit about 2 inches higher, and instead of breaking ribs and going through and through, the bullet followed one of the ribs up until it blew a hole through the back strap and the spine.
Aww. Messed up the backstrap.
Yeah. Yeah, destroyed the backstrap. Took a nice chunk
out
of it.
Destroyed it.
Well, I mean, the pieces on either side were fine, but there's definitely... We're going to get 4 backstraps out of that deer. Drove pieces of bone and bullet down into the lungs, liver, and superior vena cava and aorta. Both deer dropped in seconds. Done. So those are the 2 rifle shots. One of our buddies hit one with a .45 caliber muzzle loader firing 185 grain hollow points. Again, probably 30 yards. Required 3 shots to actually kill the deer. All of them went through the chest cavity except the last one that went through the neck and actually broke the spine.
Huh.
All of the bullets expanded, but there was no sign of a temporary wound cavity, no damage, no tissue damage outside of the primary wound cavity. So pistol bullets suck, kids.
Yeah, they do.
And muzzleloaders are apparently glorified pistols.
They really are. They really are.
Yeah. So next time I have a deer walk up on top of me, I'm going to shoot it with the 45 Super instead of the rifle. So we can compare that as well.
Okay.
It'll probably go, ouch. What was that?
Hey.
What do you have in 45 Super?
I've got a painted ordnance.
Okay. They made something in 45 Super?
No. No, it's a it's actually a mass compliant 1911 that I converted to 45 Super.
Okay, you can just convert a standard 1911 to 45 Super, it'll take the pressure?
Yeah,
that's a monster of a load.
It's 230 grain bullets at 1400 feet per second.
Yeah, that's a screecher.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a muzzle brake, you need a heavier recoil spring, you need to reprofile the firing pin retainer. So instead of the, I think it's like a quarter-inch radius or something that's normally on them, you take it down so it's like a 3/16 radius. Just barely break the back corner of it. And then you put a heavier mainspring in it.
Okay.
After I meet with the ATF tomorrow, you can send me your gun and I can do it for you.
Ooh. I don't know. I still actually is 45 Super is bigger than actually no. So it's got to fit in a standard 45 magazine, doesn't it?
That's right. It is standard 45. Well, they will destroy standard 45 brass, but dimensionally it is 45 ACP.
Yep.
External dimensions, which makes it a little bit dangerous to keep around. But.
Will a 45 Super chamber in a standard 45 barrel?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Yes.
It uses
so there's a bonus for 460 Rowland, which I've been looking at.
Yes. So on the one hand, 45 Super, if you put a magazine of it in your regular 1911, you will regret it. If it's a modern 1911, it'll probably just beat the shit out of it. It's not going to blow it up.
Okay.
Modern steel, you know, your Smith, that's a steel gun, right?
One of them is.
Yeah, so in your steel gun, it'll work. It's just going to suck. It's going to batter the gun. You're going to know immediately. You're going to fire it once, and you're going to go, oh, my God. In a scandium gun, yeah, I wouldn't do it. And in your grandpa's 1911, yeah, it might blow it up.
No.
But how much of that stuff are you going to shoot at a buck something around from Buffalo Bore?
Well, I do happen to have a reloading press right here behind me.
Well, yeah, okay, you could reload your own 45 Super. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I've got a couple magazines of it, and I carry it in the woods in case I see a bear. Because if I see a bear at 12 paces while I'm covered in deer blood and my rifle's leaned up against a tree or somebody else is holding it, I want to play.
45 Super is a good choice.
Yeah, if I need to make a black bear sit right down, that'll do it.
That's actually exactly the reason why I got so interested in 460 Roland is they allegedly, though I can't find any evidence of it right now, is they made a conversion kit for a M&P 45, and that really tickled my fancy because 10 plus one rounds of what's essentially 44 Magnum power level. Is really impressive.
Yeah. Well, there's I don't see any reason why you couldn't fire 45 Super out of an M&P.
What about 4570 out of an M&P?
Call Wally. I'm sure he could figure out how to how to tip those in the magazine. So no.
I think you guys were sitting across the table from us when we were when I was looking up the dimensions of 4570 and 308. So it was M&P 10. It'll work. But I'm sure Brita's eyes have rolled back in her head completely at this point.
I know mine.
I think we probably lost Brita at Venison. and if she give me her address, she might get some. But
hey,
I will give you my address.
You can trade stickers for
really.
Venison.
I've got a pen right here, Brita. Go ahead.
No,
that's not gonna happen. Hey, thanks for calling in, Arctic Elf.
All right, John,
don't forget to send me your mailing address.
I
will do that.
The weird mail I would get if I put my address out there. Oh my god.
That would imply people listening to this show.
And that call that now working call in number is 530-214-530-0036. Operators Woo-hoo. Standing by.
Well, I have a gun thing. And
okay.
As long as I'm here, I should probably ask you guys, because I know you're experts, right? So I sold my rifle, my M1 carbine.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have $1,000 now.
Nice.
And I want to buy an AR-15 and maybe an optic. So
I think you can get a damn nice AR-15 and a scope.
I don't know what to buy. That's the thing. I don't know what to buy. Well, here's the thing. I know that people listen to this show after the fact and probably maybe see it on Facebook and whatever, but email us and give us your suggestions, because I have no idea what I'm doing. I know I want an AR. I want an evil black rifle.
My suggestion?
Yes.
Is take your Yes. custom scroll report lower.
Ugh. Yes.
Buy a parts kit for it. Mm-hmm. Put it together, and then buy an upper somewhere.
Can I just pay somebody to do that for me?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that, Alan. It's one of those, like, I definitely have seen the people talk about the AR builds and all of that, and
well, here's the thing.
It makes perfect sense if you're putting together like two or three of them, but what if you're building just one?
The lower is very easy to put together.
But don't you need a few special tools?
Not really.
I'm doing the big sigh, the big dramatic sigh.
The upper is a little more tricky. But the lower is very simple.
And by the way, Jason just said exactly what I was thinking, is the Smith & Wesson M&P 15.
Yeah, but isn't the M&P 15 non-standard?
I think it's mostly standard, but I think I think it's got a few ambi controls
didn't they make it so the M&P 15 is not standardly interchangeable with other AR parts?
No, that's the M&P 22.
Oh, okay.
So 1522. So they made essentially it's all like polymer and shit. It weighs nothing.
Oh, okay.
But their little 22 blowback gun, and they designed it so that you could drop in like a match grade trigger into it. But you can't. They made it so you can't swap a standard 223 upper onto this 22 caliber lower, because they built the lower so that it was only able to handle 22.
Okay.
So no, I'm pretty sure. Most of the stuff, with the exception of maybe they've got a weird bolt release and stuff like that. They got a couple of odd ambi controls that are probably non-standard, but I think 90% of the time. And specifically speaking, I know when Dennis first started making holsters back in the Vicious Circle days, it was all the talk of the, all right, how do I get it so that it fits my 1911 better? Because it's just, it's way too tight sort of business. Dennis talked about like all the, get the shower going and leave it up in a place where it'll get like warm and moist, and then put the gun in it, blah, blah, blah. The, my Smith & Wesson 1911, they must have used Colt's exact dimensions because it fits every holster I've ever
had. Oh, yeah. My Smith & Wesson 1911 is the same way. The E-Series 1911 is like it fits every 1911 thing.
Which says to me that when they go ahead and copy something, yeah, no, they don't fucking dick around and try to make it so they're not like the Sig Sauer 1911s where, let's make it look like a P220 because it's a 1911.
Yep. Well, as you know, there is a custom Squirrel Report lower.
Yes, I know.
That belongs
and
to you.
I wanted to, people have been giving me shit about selling my M1 carbine because, it's historical and wonderful. And
it's also extremely expensive to shoot.
Exactly. It's expensive to shoot. I like things that are practical and I like things that work and I like things that, are like,
I've got a complete safe full of Mosin Nagants.
Right.
And not a single fucking one of them is a decent rifle.
Everyone who says that the
Mosin Nagant is a good rifle is full of shit. It's fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. And if you're buying Tapco shit to put on it and all that, no, it's fucking awful. There's a million and one companies that make a bargain basement level bolt action rifle that is going to perform identically, if not better, to a Mosin Nagant and not have this fucking Eastern Bloc shit on it. But again, I'm into the history. I like the fact that my guns have history.
That's one thing I do not care about at all.
Yeah, I don't care about
antique furniture. I don't like antique furniture. I don't like vintage clothes. I don't like, I don't like that sort of shit. I want stuff that works that I don't have to fiddle with. I hate the whole fiddling with thing. I want stuff that I can just put together, load it, and have it work.
That's why you don't want very, very excellent rifle for 1943.
Right. And the person I sold this rifle to, I'm thrilled I sold it to him because he will appreciate it and he loves it for the history. And I never appreciated that because it's like, oh, okay, 19, whatever. It's like World War II. Oh, okay, that's really nice, but doesn't work.
Who made yours?
It was Inland. Okay. Is that the right thing?
Enfield.
Oh, it was an Enfield?
It was one of the most common ones.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that would get me to buy an M1 is if I got an IBM one.
Right.
If I walked into a gun show and somebody had an IBM M1,
right,
unless that price tag was really fucking steep, I'd be peeling bills off my wallet.
Right. And I have to say that this rifle that I had was a beautiful rifle and it was wonderful. But it was just not what I wanted. And it was not something that I would have chosen for myself. It was given to me by someone. Basically it was like a blog thing. Oh, you're a blogger. You don't have a rifle. You need to have a rifle. Here's a rifle. I'm giving you a rifle. And for like a month I said, no, I don't want a rifle. But finally after a certain point I acquiesced and I was like, okay, fine. I'll take the rifle. It's a beautiful rifle. Thank you very much. And this was years ago, a couple years ago. And honestly, I never shot the rifle. Never. It sat there. I never shot it. So it was not the rifle for me. So luckily I was able to sell it. And at this point I'm looking to build or buy or whatever a rifle for me. So that's what I'm asking. I have $1,000. I want an AR-15, black rifle, and possibly an optic. That's what I want.
I can't help you with an optic. I'm an absolute idiot when it comes to
optics. I don't know anything.
So
for an AR,
yeah,
that you're, the key thing that's going to answer your optic question is what is the range you plan on shooting this rifle? Because if it's short range, you'll veer toward one style of optic. If it's long range, you'll veer toward another style. So, you know, if it's 100 yards or less, you're going to go with like a red dot or something like that.
100 yards, I may not need an optic.
Well, it's you may not.
Okay.
But, you know, they're nice.
Okay.
If you're going for the 1,000 yard shots, then you're going to want something,
of course, you know,
a little more powerful. But, there are very good, you know, you don't have to go out and drop $3,000 on a scope to shoot, you know, you know, I see these people with $500 ARs and they go out and get like a Night Force scope and put it on there and like, oh yeah.
So the scope is more expensive than the rifle?
By like six times more expensive, you know.
Okay.
You know, at a certain point you got to go, what are you trying to do? You know, the maximum, you know, it's like drilled into your head in the military. The maximum effective range of the AR-15 is what, 600 meters or something like that, which is the range that you can reasonably expect the bullet to hit something and have an effect.
Okay.
Instead of like, you know, now you can ring a gong or punch a hole in a paper at 1,000 yards, but by that time the bullets, the power is spent so much that a heavy coat will, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, we're talking effectiveness, right? So, you know, you don't need one of those expensive, god-awful scopes on an AR.
And also the question is, yeah, what are you planning on doing too? Like, I mean, if it's just one of those, you want to take it out plinking or you know, you might need to use it for self-defense. There's a riot in the area, what have you, for reasons for grabbing your rifle, you might not necessarily need like the most precision optic.
Right. You just need something that's, you know, lets you acquire the target easy. And, you know, that's why I said if it's, you know, 100 yards or less, definitely a red dot or something like that.
Okay.
If it's more than that, then, well, plus with an AR, you know, there, you have the one lower, right? And you can have different uppers.
I don't have a lower.
You can have, but what I'm saying, you will have one with an AR.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have a lower and then you'll have an upper. So you can have one for short range and you can get an upper for long range. You basically have one rifle that you can stick like all kinds of different things on.
Okay.
And you can have one upper set up for long distance shooting, one set up for short distance, whatever you want.
So modular.
Yes.
Like very, very modular.
Legos.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, excellent. It's the thing I need to learn.
But let's face it, Brita.
What?
You really shouldn't be getting an AR because they're too complicated. You should really get a 38 air weight.
Right. I know. They're
too, you pretty little me. Lady.
I know.
Hey, we got a call from MDev.
Oh, good.
Hello, MDev.
Well, hello. How's it going?
Doing fine.
Hi,
how are you?
MDev.
Oh, you know, it's one of them days. It's one of them days.
I have those days as well.
It's a day.
Is a good
I actually
or
have a
mediocre.
Good enough. It's okay. You know, it's one of those weird days where like nothing went wrong, but nothing went particularly right either.
Oh, okay.
But I do have a real quick recommendation as to a budget AR for you.
Thank you.
So I have a Bushmaster Carbon 15,
mm-hmm.
which has a polymer lower. And the first generations of them were complete crap and gave them a terrible, a reputation. And then they literally fixed all of the problems in the second generation, but weren't smart enough to change the name. So the prices are still cheap.
Interesting. Now,
yeah.
When Bushmaster moved from Maine to Ilion, New York, did they continue to make these carbon 15s? Because let me tell you, Remington has been able to fuck up a steel ball these days. Oh my god! Like, they can't fucking make a Remington 700 right now. What the fuck? How bad do you have to be so that that mainstay and fucking just concrete donkey of a gun? I mean, they're just beautiful and unbelievably simple, and they can't fucking make them right anymore.
Yeah, no, mine. I bought mine new in on Halloween of 2008. No, of 2012. Yeah, right before the election. So Halloween 2012 is when I bought mine, and I paid like just over $500 for it when everything else was starting to spike. So. But yeah, I mean, they've got a terrible reputation. Like, if you look it up on all the forums and stuff, and that reputation was completely earned with the first generation and completely fixed in the second generation. And you can tell the difference between the two because the second generation has a forward assist and the first one doesn't. So, and it, when I bought mine, it came with like a cheap red dot. That lasted me for quite a while, and then eventually, I put a not super cheap, but cheap enough, like a 3-9 scope on it for a little bit more range. But that's my only chiming in for the week.
That's a good chime in.
That is good. Oh, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
He chimed in and hung up.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, are we going to go the whole show without talking about California?
Yes.
My God. Okay,
here's what it is about California. Some guy got radicalized by his Muslim wife and decided he got fed up at work and decided today was the day.
Yep.
And he went. Yeah, they had a plan, though. I mean, they had like body armor. And
since
they had
this was done at a holiday party, and I guarantee it was a quote unquote holiday party.
Oh,
like
I know,
guarantee it was probably
I
as
know
most
because we decorated the holiday tree at the library the other night.
It was. I guarantee it was a vaguely Christmas shaped party.
I'm sure.
And because this is fucking California, and it was a fucking government office that was having this party. I guarantee he was radicalized by – I actually hadn't heard. Was it specifically – was his wife the nutty one?
Well, what I have read is that he was born in the United States, raised in the United States. At a certain point, he started becoming more interested in Islam, and he found a wife overseas in the Middle East, you know, online.
Oh, great.
And he, you know, because, you know, there's those services looking for a good Muslim wife kind of thing.
Hey, Alan, don't knock it. That's how I found my first wife.
His good Muslim wife. And he traveled to Saudi Arabia and brought back the wife. Right? And I don't know within that time if he did the Hajj or whatever, but I think he was perceived as a very devout Muslim and whatever. But I think from everything I've read, he met the woman and it's like, oh my God, it's like biblical. Eve led him to the apple and was the downfall. But I think he married a very devout Muslim kind of extremist wife and decided that this was his thing.
But I got to say, given that this happened at a quote unquote holiday party, I think the American left holds a little bit to do with it because let's face it. You've got on the right, you've got the dipshitty Mendes of what the fuck, Starbucks, a red cup. Fuck you and fuck everyone who likes you. God damn you sons of bitches. Put the Christ back in Christmas.
Right.
But on the other side, you've got the Happy holidays. God forbid I might say Merry Christmas to a Jew. They're going to be so upset and they're going to ruin their day and they're going to look for exposed beams to throw a rope over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both sides are fucking idiots is what I'm trying to say.
I know.
But
yeah,
the specific flavor of idiocy that's going on with this is the, oh my goodness, they had an evergreen tree at the holiday party. Kill them motherfucking infidels.
I think it was just an excuse for them.
I think it's all just an excuse. When it comes to what is to be gained about here? I mean, even if they had, I mean, as far as I can gather, they did get in the SUV and drive off instead of, you know, having a little standoff with the police until things got a little too tight and then sucks, you know, then save the last one for themselves, which is how all these spree shooters do it. Or in these case, these guys had explosives, so they didn't blow themselves up. They right. got in a car and drove away until the cops fucking shot the living bejesus out of them. So I assume that their plan was to get away. But
yes.
But even when you boil it down to, so let's say they got away. Let's say they're in Tahiti right now. They got away from the cops. They eluded it. They're in Tijuana. Whatever. They're safe and sound. What do they just fucking gain? What do they get? I mean, so the bottom line is – The end result is the only explanation is crazy.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to crazy, everything's a fucking excuse.
Exactly.
Because it's not like they're like, oh yeah, no, they're fucking millionaires on a $4 million yacht, you know, cruising around the open ocean and never have to work another day in their life. That makes sense to me. But no, just we got away. We killed all our coworkers and got away. All right. What's in it for me?
I don't understand radical Islam. I don't. But I think there's
well,
like
Brita, given that you're of Moorish descent, that you
I
should
am not.
Be very appropriate for
I
you
am
to
not.
Do that.
I am not. I think there's a tally board. I think that they have this like tally board, like, okay, I am one Muslim and I have taken out 17 non-Muslims. You know, I'm assuming that's how
call
it works.
Call Mr. Tallyman, tally me infidels.
Right, exactly like that.
Daylight, but, come and me want to go boom.
But I think that...
Well played.
Moreover,
well played,
that
Al. That's a second show in a row with singing.
There was a plan. I mean, they had body armor. They had bombs.
They were ready to go off. That's what I'm
they
saying.
They were ready to go off. And I think they were looking for an excuse. And I think the holiday party was an excuse because they knew everybody would be there.
Sure.
I honestly think that if they had lived to be, it would be just like the dude that shot up the black church in South Carolina. I think if they had lived, it would have been a situation of the, you know, it was really hard to go back there because they were so nice. They really weren't being as dickish as I had fantasized them to being. Because that was that guy's excuses. I'm going to go into a black church. I'm going to sit down in the middle of their service as a white dude and look at them calling me a cracker and telling me to get the fuck out and telling me it's not my place. And then at that point in time, I'm going to go back to my pickup truck and I'm going to get my Glock and I'm going to shoot all the motherfuckers and I'm going to be justified. Mm-hmm. And instead he got there and they were just like welcoming in and probably calling him brother and all of that stuff and treating him like he was family. And then he's just like, well, I put on a condom, so now it's time to fuck. And he went back
and killed
them.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point because I think the media stirs this up so much that it's like white against black and non-Muslim against Muslim and this whole kind of thing where we're all kind of in groups against each other. But when you get down to real life where you have to interact with real people. People are in this country are pretty okay. As a general rule. I mean, the United States is a pretty diverse culture. I mean,
extremely diverse culture.
Yeah. I mean, even in little Midwestern Ohio, we have Muslims, we have blacks, we have Asians, we have the gamut. When I'm thinking about the people I see at my library and everybody just kind of does their own thing, and they're polite to each other, and everything is okay, and there's no problems. And I think that, I don't know, I keep blaming the media in this show. I keep saying it's the media, it's the media. And it really is.
It really is.
They focus on the very limited circumstances where people clash against each other in different groups, like, you know, the Ferguson thing and the, but I deal with black people all the time. I deal with Orthodox Jews all the time. I deal with Muslims all the time. It's like, and I see people in my library interact together all the time. And it's not a thing. The United States is, we just want to do our own thing. We just want to live our lives. And I don't think that people go out of their way to antagonize other groups. I think it's a very limited thing. And I think the media kind of highlights that.
Well, again, that's what I was trying to get at, was the, you know, trying to point out the, what was there to gain by this, even if it was a perfect plan and it had gone off without a hitch.
Right.
Is there's nothing to gain from fucking killing all your coworkers. I mean, there's no point to it. It's just stupidity.
Crazy. You're trying to create a logical reason for crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. And that's I think that's what Breed is getting at, is that really overall, when you're dealing with sane people of faction one and sane people of faction two,
exactly,
everyone's going to go along to get along. It's going to be one of those, okay, you're pro-life and I'm pro-choice. Honestly speaking, it really doesn't, it makes a difference to me, but in the us sitting here across the table from each other, it doesn't fucking make a lick of difference. So you know what? I'm not going to bring up Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Done and done.
I mean, sort of idea. In my library, and I just want to say this, that the library where I work at, the city also, there is a Orthodox Jewish seminary, or whatever they call it, rabbinical college. So in that town, we have a lot of like very Orthodox Jewish people. We have people, you know, Orthodox Jews with like the curl of their hair and the beards and the yarmulkes and the prayer shawl. I mean, they're very Orthodox. But at the same time, we have like, we have Muslims that come in. And at the same time, I will look out and there will be black people and white people and Asian people and an Orthodox Jew and a woman in hijab. And there will be no problem.
Hell, the one of my super close friends who is a Muslim, she goddamn married a Jew.
Right? It's like when you get down to the personal level of people, there's no problem. Because people want to interact with other people. It's not, I don't know. People are not just antagonistic.
No, but when it comes down to crazy, crazy gets antagonistic because,
right,
let's face it, I mean, the bottom line is, oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I want to tell every socialist dickbag in the world to fuck off. And if I see a car with a bumper sticker that says profit equals theft, I want to run them off the road.
Right.
But no, I really don't, because
I really don't,
because what the fuck is there to gain from that?
Right. Exactly. You know,
sort of idea. I mean, it's just, but when you get the crazy people, they don't have that. They don't have that extra step of the, what the,
right,
you know, the lizard part of my brain says, kill and eat that person.
You get the crazy people, but you also get the media who stirs up the.
Well, the media doesn't necessarily stir up the crazies. The media really directs the crazies. That's why we've got mass shooters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the 60s and 70s, there were all these we don't have any serial killers anymore. There hasn't been another John Wayne Gacy or the Manson family or all of these like serial killer groups. That was like a huge thing in like the 60s and 70s. There were so many, you know, different serial killers, and that was the thing, and it was a trope for the longest time, and it spawned the Silence of the Lambs series, was all about serial killers. And really, I mean, ever so often there's one that pops up, but most of the time there isn't any. And to be fair, the ones that pop up really don't get any media attention anymore because it's so old news. But you get one fucking dude who goes up to two damn people doing a newscast and pops those, and he's national news. He shot two people. That happens every fucking day in every major city. But this dude happened to do it in a, you know, in a, you know, goofy spree shooter sense instead of a gangland sense. And that's national news attention. So guess what? That's going to direct of the, yes, you could hide in the bushes and strangle nurses and hide the bodies and send letters to taunt the police.
Right.
But let's face it, they're not going to really fuck around with you that much anymore.
Well, or I just hope it's not, you know, the media has stirred up, or not even just the media, but the administration of this country has kind of, you know, backed off and given, God, you know, the Islamic people who are a little bit crazy kind of feeling like, wait, we're kind of within our rights to go ahead and, I don't know.
I think that might happen.
We'll see. We'll see how it turns out if we keep going down this path.
But at this point in time, I think it's art imitates life.
Yeah.
Sort of situation.
I agree.
Is that, you know, James Bond starts carrying around a Walther PPK, and all of a sudden the PPK, which is a fucking dog shit gun, it sells off the shelf. Everybody fucking owns a PPK.
Right.
And up until very, very, very recently, when a bunch of, you know, the small 9mm and 380s really started taking off, the PPK was the carry gun. I always refer to it as, you know, it's your father's carry gun sort of idea. But if someone had concealed carry, they carried a Walther PPK. And it's fucking shit. It's a terrible fucking gun. It chews the crap out of your hand. It's not that good. It's not that powerful. It weighs a ton. It's just not a great gun. But hey, guess what? James Bond carries it, so there it is. You know, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that can be said about various guns. I mean, the Dirty Harry movies just completely saved Smith & Wesson from bankruptcy, I think. I think that was one of the times when Smith & Wesson was doing bad. And Dirty Harry came out, and they've been making the Model 29 for years, and it didn't sell for shit because it was just big, heavy, heavy recoiling gun that used this odd caliber that, you know, that people weren't really all that sure about. But then suddenly Harry Callahan, who doesn't fucking exist, suddenly started pulling this gigantic goddamn Model 29 out of his coat that wouldn't fit in there. But guess what? Hollywood magic. Suddenly everybody wanted a Model 29, and specifically the Model 29 set up exactly as Dirty Harry had it set up, which was completely impractical, and it's a bullshit way to have a Model 29, but hey, guess what? People started buying them because life imitates art. And I think that's really what's going on right now.
I
think all the media attention is given to these people that are doing body counts of total strangers. And that's the big thing that's going on right now is that these fucking crazy people are nuts. And the idea of doing harm to other people makes perfect sense to them.
Right.
So what's the outlet for that? Well, look to the culture. Look to the culture. And the culture is spree killing right now.
Yeah, I agree. And also I think that they will use any excuse. You know, there's that guy in Colorado Springs who is like,
Completely fucking nuts.
Completely nuts. But he used the abortion thing, the anti-abortion thing.
Well, did he? I'm not even sure. Was he? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was.
Well,
I've heard of that is the media people speculating that he was a super duper crazy pro-lifer.
I read something that he said no more baby body parts or something like that. And I'm assuming that don't know. I don't know if what I read was true. I mean, there's your problem, really.
Oh, there's a huge problem.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I read in the news that he was proclaiming no more baby body parts or something to that effect, and he was shooting at the Planned Parenthood because he was upset about the baby body parts. But I don't know if that's true because
I've heard a bunch of conflicting stories about that guy, and I really haven't dug that deep into it because again. Dude's fucking living in a trailer without running water out in the middle of the fucking woods, and his mugshot, his eyeballs are pressed up against the camera, and he's up against the wall.
Clearly that has crazy.
Oh, yeah. So it's one of those things of the, you know, just the same way as the, yes, technically speaking, Jared Loughner is a crazy liberal by all of the manifestos that he left behind, you know. But let's face it. This is not a crazy liberal. This is just fucking crazy.
Right.
You know,
I think crazy will find any excuse.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And they need to stop using the crazy as an excuse to try and regulate the not crazy because you can't regulate crazy. They're crazy.
And the bottom line is we really need to fucking stop regulating crazy. Like, I mean, I hate this idea of guilty by means of insanity sort of business where it's one of those like, okay, I totally get it on the, you are totally crazy, but with therapy and medication, we can fix you or at least get you so you're not a danger anymore.
No.
Okay. I get it. That person shouldn't be locked up with the person that just was, oh no, mommy and daddy didn't hug me enough when I was little, so I just fucking kill people sort of person. But for someone like James Holmes, who I'm actually really upset that he was not declared insane by the trial, but instead declared just a regular mass murderer. I just don't see any evidence for that from what I've read. But either way, the end result is still the same, is if James Holmes was declared mentally insane, he's fucking broken. He's not going to get better. There's never going to be a point where you can let him out of your sight without a chaperone and not be concerned that he's going to kill somebody or do severe harm to somebody else. So why do we keep these people around? I mean, I get that they're technically speaking not guilty on the same level, but that's also not how I view prison. Prison is just not a way to fix people, but it's just put someone in a box so they can't fucking hurt me.
Yeah.
And if someone's going to be, and if you're going to keep put them in the box forever so they can't hurt me, why put them in the box in the building? Why not put them in a box in the ground?
Well, yeah. Why should I have to pay for their box?
And that's more fucking humane.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brita, one of your cats suddenly comes down with some sort of horrible terminal cancer of the, you know, oh, they're going to waste away and die in horrible agony, or you can put them down.
Right.
And that's perfectly acceptable. And, you know, every time I read about someone who had to put down like a long-term pet, the reaction is almost always the same, is the, man, after my tears cleared up and my initial grief process was over and I was thinking about their life, I kept saying, why did I let them suffer for that long?
Right.
Why didn't I let go earlier and put them down with dignity earlier? And that's kind of where I root. Of course, I've got this whole veterinary side of my life on that. But again, it's just one of those things of the, you know, people talk about like, you know, oh, we're, the European countries are more humane because when they have a complete fucking monster in their culture, they put them in a metal box and leave them there until they die. And that's suddenly more humane than putting them in a nice room and letting them die without any pain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things of the, I'm sorry, who's the civilized person? You really sound more like you're doing the old oubliette thing.
Yep.
I don't know who we're concerned about being humane to.
I think
we're concerned about being humane to the people who need to do the deed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, in that case, that's even more so, is the person that has to pull the switch to either run the lethal injection or drop the trap door or even pull the trigger on the firing squad. That person's doing a whole lot better than the no, this fucking monster who's smearing shit all over his cell and jacking off at you and spitting at you and calling you a fucking pig as you're trying to feed and clothe them for their last of their dying days. That is way more dehumanizing towards the jailers than that. I mean, I guess if you go towards the judge of the, all right, judge, you get to make this declaration. In one declaration, you are technically killing the person. The other one, you're not technically killing the person. They're just going to fucking die of old age. Maybe that's the one we're talking about.
I think it's cultural. Because we're taught killing a person is the worst thing ever.
Well, we're also taught that somehow prisons make people better. That
I
there's,
know.
There's some reform on prison. Is you put someone in prison and they stay in prison, and when they come out, they're all of a sudden a decent human being.
Sure.
But in reality, number one, most of the time they're worse. I mean, to be fair, there are a whole bunch of people that first trip to prison is the wake up call that they fucking needed. And I am certainly when my super duper pro death penalty stance kicks in, it is not saying, oh no, it should either be parole or gallows. No, that's not true. There should definitely be some minor prison sentencing sort of thing, is the, 5 years or less sort of idea of the, oh yeah, no, you do a minor crime. Yeah. We'll lock you up for a couple of years for you to try to get your shit together. And oh, by the way, if we find you locked you up again, we're going to lock you up in the place where it has the gallows. Also, I really like gallows.
Well,
we really should quit that fucking suicide machine crap.
Yeah, I think that is less for the person who is being executed than for the people who are witnessing and carrying it out.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more clinical.
Absolutely. Well, it's actually less clinical because those of us with a clinical background see that fucking bullshit suicide machine and go, why the fuck are you doing that?
Yeah, but it's, for the people watching it, it's, there's no, usually there's no, mess. It's not like, it's not like with a hanging where you see all kinds of weird shit.
Oh yeah. I mean, even on my side, when it comes to taking care of the mice, where I work now, where I originally worked, it was just simply stated of the, there's a panel of ethical treatment of animals. If it's in that book on that's okay and it's not a violation, then you're allowed to do that here. This is how we operate. The place I operate now at is the no, we are going to absolutely specify how everything is done within a point. And so when an animal dies in our lab, it is by CO2 asphyxiation. Which, number one, we've got fucking nitrogen lines all through the building. Why are we not doing nitrogen asphyxiation? It is considerably less cruel, but it's also less common. And that's really why the answer is. And then on top of that, I was a absolute wizard of the cervical dislocation, a.k.a. the neck break. I could break a neck so quick that they were not feeling anything. It's ugly as shit, and when you essentially decapitate an animal, its rear legs are going to kick like fucking crazy. It's going to look like it's struggling in pain,
right?
But I know for a fact that they're
reflex.
Yeah, that's just it burning off the last of those. Right.
That's the spinal cord and all that.
Yeah, that's just the last of the nerve enervation hormones burning off.
Right.
in the system. It looks awful, but it's not.
Right.
But again, that's the thing.
It's for the people watching.
Yeah. It looks awful, but it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen PETA videos of that, of the, oh, look at this. These people are kicking around still living chickens. And I'm looking at the video and going,
yeah.
Oh, no. They're killing those chickens. Those are decapitated chickens.
Yeah, those chickens don't have heads.
Yeah, those chickens are dead. Those chickens are long dead.
Yeah. Well, that's just like, you know, the whole, you know, you can, I mean, there's all kinds of things like, a, you know, any freshly killed animal, even temperature changes will cause it to move. Mm-hmm.
We were just watching an episode of America's Test Kitchens before the show, and they were doing a like clam bake with lobsters, and lobsters had been killed already with the knife through the head.
Yep,
but the legs were still going.
Sure were.
I mean, like for like 10 minutes after.
Yep.
You know, the legs are still going.
What's really alarming was I was actually hearing actually one of Kelly's stories talking about Cajuns eating all sorts of shit. And I was going, I got thinking, how the fuck do you get the meat out of a snapping turtle? And I looked it up on YouTube, and there's a video of somebody dressing out a snapping turtle. And it was amazing. The first thing they did was cut the thing's head off.
Right.
And the legs were, I mean, it's a, just, I couldn't believe that a snapping turtle is both so advanced, but also so primitive.
Right.
That
reptiles are,
it was moving in such a, you could have sworn it was still alive.
Right.
How its legs were moving.
Well, they say after you cut a rattlesnake's head off, you have to destroy the head.
Yes.
Because it will still bite you and kill you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Reptiles, so, man.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, there's all
we're
sorts
like
of stuff.
Half an hour over. I what know. The hell are we talking about?
Talking about killing shit.
Killing shit.
Woohoo. All right. Well, that's a good time to wrap it up.
I think we're done.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks to the people called in. Remember, if you call in, you'll get stickers. If you don't call in, you won't get any. So call in. Get your awesome sticker. You want these. And trust me, you want these. They're good.
Yes, they're good stickers.
They're good stickers.
Yep.
And remember, call in multiple times so you can stick them on all the stop signs in the block.
Yes.
Yeah, multiple times won't get you more stickers. I'm sorry.
Yes, it will.
The postage costs money. Sorry.
Stop signs, Alan. I will send
extra stickers.
Yeah, well, I'll send, I'm not just going to send one. I'll send, you know, several. But
I'll send lots of stickers.
It's only my wife's money.
There you go.
All right, everyone. That's the show.
Good night.
See y'all next
week. Good night, Internet.
Bye.